Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart. And who are you?
I'm Doug McBurney, and I'm here to help.
Doug, what are you doing in the studio? You're supposed to be off today. You're supposed to be working, making money.
I know.
But there's a lot of news, so
I couldn't resist.
Let's jump right into the news. In Nevada, we're looking forward to a ruling from a court.
Any minute.
For the Nevada personhood amendment effort.
Now, a court in Nevada struck down the amendment, said that it was not a single issue.
Yeah, right.
Liberals
are such lying hypocrites.
Yeah. And so they want to deny the right of the citizens of Nevada to vote on the question of when do we get our rights.
Like, should a black person be recognized as a full legal person? That's not a single issue. We can't consider that. That's two issues, whether he's full and legal.
And they're
maybe
basically,
he's three-fifths of a legal person.
Well, I think that might work for certain courts, certain judges.
That's what Article 1 of the Constitution said. Oh, but anyway, they said it's not a...
That wasn't judicial activism? That was right in the Constitution?
That was right there. George W. Bush.
Three-fifths of a...
I wonder if he was smoking something during that presidential debate when he said the Dred Scott ruling was judicial activism. I mean, he's a lunatic. He said we needed strict constructionist judges. He doesn't know that Article 1 of the U.S. Constitution counted most black people as three-fifths, and it regulated the continued import of slaves and taxed them.
I think he did not know that.
He doesn't know that?
No.
This is embarrassing.
He might
know
it now. Maybe he's had some time to read.
No, nobody's. You think anybody close to him and said, you know, George, you just totally blew that. Those judges who ruled that blacks are owned as property, they were the strict constructionists.
That's right, George.
That's what they were.
Ay, ay, ay.
And it's so embarrassing. And Doug, Republicans like George W. Bush, they compromise on everything biblical for their supposed commitment to the Constitution.
Right.
And they don't know the Constitution. They don't even know that. So really, when people find a reason to compromise on God and God's command, do not murder, what they really mean is I don't care about anything but my own feelings and opinion.
Right.
That's what they mean.
And how is the wind blowing politically in the next election?
Yeah, based on how it'll affect me.
Right.
Right.
It's just a sad state of affairs. But, you know, now that I think the Constitution is pretty much passé at this point. I don't hold out a lot of hope that the circuit court there in Nevada is going to make the correct ruling in the personhood.
Well, that very
litigation.
Well could be. And if they do give us a good ruling, it's just by accident.
Yeah, but we'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it. But it's not as though, see, the system works.
No.
No, you only say that when a convicted murderer in jail gets beat to death.
Right.
Then you say, see, the system works.
The system's working.
Otherwise, it's just a random event in a mindless system.
Now, speaking of the justice system, I've got an article here regarding Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Chain Gang Joe.
I remember him. I used to live in Maricopa County.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I went to Arizona State University. I think he's been there forever.
He's been there for a long time. He keeps getting reelected, much to the liberal chagrin.
He's funny. He's the guy who has the inmates sleep in tents.
Yes. In fact, the story is about a program he recently instituted at what has been dubbed Tent City Jail. He started the Tent City in the 80s, and it was, I guess he likes it.
Yeah.
He's still got him sleeping in tents outside.
And, you know, it could get to 120 degrees in Phoenix.
Yeah, that's got to be rough.
In the fall.
Yeah.
I mean, in the summer.
Now, he's got inmates on a program he calls Pedal Vision.
Pedal Vision. But,
you know, Joe's got to be creative because the justice system is so broken.
Pedal Vision. It sounds like a 60s Volkswagen Bug. You got flowers all over painted on the walls, Pedal Vision?
No, the Pedal Vision uses inmate-powered bicycles to generate electricity for their television sets.
Now that's a step in the right direction.
Well,
better.
He has nowhere to go in the right direction.
It's hard. But that is a step in the right direction. Better would be inmate-powered bicycles to provide electricity for their electrocutions.
I like that a lot better.
If some of the inmates had a pedal to help with the executions of convicted murderers, then we'd have something even better going on.
Well, you know, I think if Joe had that opportunity,
he'd do it.
He would do it, but he doesn't have that opportunity.
He probably does.
So anyway, they hop on the bikes. Now, Sheriff Joe says he saw that many of his inmates were overweight.
Oh, yeah.
And so he was inspired to start this program. The bikes generate a 12-volt charge. It goes right to your TV set so you can pedal while you watch.
Yeah.
You can watch.
Doug, you know, Americans used to be the only ones who were really overweight at an epidemic level when you looked at Europe and the Far East and all.
Yeah.
But that's starting to change. And for at least a couple decades, people would say, well, Americans are overweight because we're lazy and the Europeans are really committed to fitness. Yeah. And I'd say, no, the Europeans are poor.
Right.
Europeans can't afford all the ice cream they want, all the cookies they want, all the candy, going out to dinner four times a week.
Right.
The Europeans can't afford that.
No.
And they'd say, well, look at the Europeans. They go out and buy fresh food every day. And I say, that's because they can't afford a big refrigerator.
That's right.
Their refrigerator's like we have in a dorm room or a college kid.
Yeah, exactly.
For a whole family.
Yeah.
So the Europeans were not fat because they couldn't afford to be fat. Now, as prosperity is slowly, you know, it's spreading the globe,
yeah,
then we've got other countries that are getting fat. It's a problem. You've got to learn how to deal with prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
It is a problem.
Well, and we've got a lot of people in jail here in the United States, and
yeah,
they're fed pretty well.
Well, even, over a million.
Even at Tent City Jail, they must eat pretty well because Joe saw that they were overweight.
I'm sure they got more than a couple thousand calorie diet. And, Doug, in jail, this is what we do to people in jail. Jail is timeout for adults.
Yeah.
Timeout doesn't work. You need spanking.
Yeah.
Discipline for children. And you need flogging and restitution and corporal punishment for adults, not timeout for adults. So it's no longer a justice system. Now it's just a system. And our criminals, we keep them warm in winter, cool in summer. We feed them, clothe them, educate them, medicate them, entertain them, legally represent them. They play foosball, of all things.
Yeah.
Basketball, volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to remember what it means to punish MSNBC anchors and criminals.
Yeah, oh, both. Yeah. So now it's just a weight loss system.
That's
and
right.
They peddle their TV and watch Kirstie's Big Life. She's the big, I'm sure you're not familiar.
She's big?
She's big, yeah.
Kirstie?
Kirstie Alley.
Oh, from that bar show in Boston.
Yeah.
What was that show called? Chips? No.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers from the 80s.
So she's fat and she has a show based on being fat?
Based on being fat and rich, which you had mentioned being rich. Yeah. Prosperity?
Yeah.
Prosperity has struck Kirstie, but I'm assuming that's what they're watching. Now, she said in the ad for her show that she has two kids and she has eight lemurs.
Eight lemurs.
And I pointed out to her that the proper verb would have been eaten. But
yes.
Anyway, that's okay. Just terrible.
She has eight lemurs.
That's what she said.
She has eaten lemurs.
Anyway, that's what they're watching out at Tent City.
So prosperity makes us overweight, which we have to deal with, and also makes our kids lazy.
Yeah.
You have to learn, an entire society has to learn how to deal with prosperity, because young guys grow up, they could play video games, be on the internet, go out to movies, have widescreen TVs,
yeah,
and work 15 to 20 hours a week.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Be losers. They could be losers and have all that entertainment and relaxation. And so we have to learn, like we say, my great-grandfather, he knew how to work. He had a work ethic. That's because he'd die if he didn't work.
That's
and everybody
right.
around him would die if they didn't work.
Right.
Today, kids grow up and they could be lazy bums and have a better standard of living than our great-grandparents who worked their whole lives.
Right. And it's difficult as a parent in such a prosperous society
yeah.
to force yourself to make your children work. Because,
yeah.
you know, I have the urge. My wife is the hard case.
She's better.
And I'm the softy.
Yeah.
And
well,
I have daughters.
And I don't know how you do that.
I find it difficult. And I realize, like, I find myself picking up their playroom, all their toys.
Instead of them cleaning
Instead
up.
Of them doing it. And I tell myself, if you start doing this now, you're going to be doing this for their entire
yeah,
life.
Right.
So I have to stop myself.
Yeah, you
and
have
I have
these
to say,
young
girls, come in here and let's clean up before bedtime.
You have these young girls. Cheryl and I, between us, we have 7 boys and 2 grandkids.
That's got to be easier to crack the whip on. Oh,
it's boys. Yeah, it's way easier. Yeah. But Cheryl, she's the softy.
Oh, is that right? Well, there's one in every household.
There is. And that's why God made us opposites attract.
Right.
We need one another.
But I'm thankful that I've had guidance from Denver Bible Church, from your ministry, from a book called Train Up a Child.
Train Up a Child. Great book.
Fantastic
book. By the Pearls,
book.
Michael and Debbie Pearl.
Because raising kids is not necessarily intuitive, because a lot of things you've got to figure out.
You think that if you're really, really nice to the kids, that it'll all work out great.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out the kids will be miserable if they find out they can get away with a lot or almost anything.
Yeah.
They're miserable. Mm-hmm. They want boundaries. They want parents who are not only their friends, but who they can respect.
That's what they want.
That's what they want.
And it's counterintuitive.
Especially
if you were educated in the public schools and all that.
Yeah.
But now, speaking of prosperity in Europe, Bob, they have a plan to reduce the girth of the average British citizen.
They do.
Yes, they do. People earning more than £150,000 per year, which is...
What? Wait, people eating more than...
No.
£150,000 per year?
No.
How do you eat that much?
No, this is... Their monetary unit is the pound.
Oh, instead of the dollar or the peso?
And so £150,000 a year, I think, is over $200,000 a year.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're going to see a new 50% income tax rate.
No, Doug, this just can't be this...
It started yesterday.
This reminds me of America.
Yeah. It's
Do you remember in America we had a 90% tax bracket, the top bracket?
I don't remember that because I started paying taxes under Ronald Reagan.
Oh.
So I don't remember.
So that was before your time.
Before my time.
We had a 90% top tax bracket. I remember when Reagan was lowering all the rates.
Yeah.
And I remember that Bob Dole. Remember Bob Dole?
Yes.
Bob Dole was against it.
The tax collector for the welfare state.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob Dole.
Yeah, Bob Dole. liberal, socialist, pro-abort, child killer, pro-homosexual,
Republican,
anti-Christian, Republican, and that's why the Republicans wanted him to lead the country,
because
he was just so Republican.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. So anyway, what are they doing now?
They've raised the top income tax rate in Britain to 50% if you're making $300,000 a year.
That's absolutely criminal.
They're also going to tax
50%. Imagine right off the top.
I don't have to imagine it. I live it every day.
You live it. Right
so
off the
you.
Top, 50%.
Now, and that's just the income tax.
That's just the income tax. Yeah. And then there's every other kind of tax. And then there's the tax that's built into the price of everything you buy and every service you get.
The VAT tax. Which is
the
being,
VAT tax.
It's being talked, not they, a fat tax, a the, VAT tax.
A fat tax and a sin tax.
The VAT tax.
A sin tax will stop you from being fat.
Yeah.
But you said a fat tax?
A VAT tax, value-added tax. And that's being talked about now to pay for the new healthcare regime.
Yeah, the...
Healthcare schema.
Yeah, you're right. You're exactly right. The Federal Reserve is saying we should introduce a VAT here in America. And that, of course, is another step toward utter criminality and socialism. But so, if you're wealthy in England, right off the top, they take half of whatever you would make.
If you're making $300,000, you're only going to take home $150,000.
And if you're out there listening and you don't make a lot of money, Cheryl and I, Doug, I don't know how wealthy you and Takako are.
We're
I don't
not,
know if you
wealthy.
Have. You're not wealthy?
We're not wealthy. No.
Don't you have $500,000 in your savings account?
No.
You don't?
No.
Well, Cheryl and I, we live paycheck to paycheck for the most part. We have a pittance of a savings retirement.
Right.
A pittance.
Yeah.
We used to have more, but then there was something called the dot-com bust.
Right.
And that was the end of that. But anyway, we struggle with all our kids and grandkids. And then the kids grow up and they go out and they come back.
Yeah. Well, that's...
it's amazing how that happens.
They're supposed to start producing at some point.
But the kids and our family, it's expensive and money's very tight. And when we see people who are really wealthy make a lot of money...
Yeah.
We're not envious. We're glad for them.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Some people are wildly successful. If everybody was as poor as we are, we'd all be worse off.
Yeah, and you've got to have examples for your kids to aspire to. So a moral Christian businessman who happens to make a few million dollars a year is a great inspiration for your kids.
That's very encouraging. It's very good. And Jesus said, don't be envious. Envy will destroy you.
Right.
And so if you're out there thinking, well, what do they need $300,000 for? That's really none of your business.
Yeah.
I mean, you're sinning before God if you're envious. Now, if somebody's stealing money, then that's a different matter. But to hide in your heart your envy, and you think, oh, they're probably stealing it. How dare they have more money than me? That's sin, and that will destroy you.
Yeah, and it's now it's revealed here because the government there in England, they're stealing the money.
Yeah.
So half, 50% income tax rate, 42.5% tax on dividends for those grotesquely rich people making $300,000. I don't think $300,000 is what it used to be. And now get this. This is something I don't understand. Maybe you have to live in Britain. It says those people making more than 100,000 pounds a year, they're going to have their personal allowance reduced. I'm not sure what that means.
In other words, so much money before you start getting walloped.
Oh, okay. Taxed. Okay. So they're lowering the rate at which they begin the confiscatory tax.
Yeah. And in the Bible, God describes a 10% tax as being tyrannical. It's confiscatory.
10%.
For public school teachers, that means it's bad.
It's bad.
It's bad. And so 10% is criminal. That's like the government becoming, if the government kidnaps children, they're guilty of kidnapping.
Yeah.
If the government murders the innocent intentionally, knowingly, recklessly, they're guilty of murder. If the government steals, they're guilty of stealing.
Mm-hmm.
The government can be guilty of stealing if they steal. And this is, God said in the Bible, when they take 10%, they're guilty.
Yeah.
It's a tragedy. Here, they're taking 50% right off the top, and Bob Dole would be all over that.
Yeah, he would love that. And yeah. But one thing we can look forward to is the average Englishman will probably start losing some weight because prosperity is going to flee that country.
Prosperity will not be what it used to
prosperity
be.
Prosperity won't be what it used to be.
No.
Now, speaking of taxes, have you heard about California?
Eric Metaxas?
No, Eric Metaxas. That was a fabulous interview, by the
way. Wasn't that great? That was this week, right? On Monday.
That fellow has a future.
He does. Eric Metaxas is becoming the biographer of our age.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And his biography on William Wilberforce and now Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who the anniversary of his murder, he was killed by the Nazis this Friday.
April 9th
in 1945,
65 years ago.
Right at the end of the war. And so what a time for Eric Metaxas' book to come out on Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Eric Metaxas' book on Dietrich von Bonhoeffer, not von Bonhoeffer, Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Yeah.
Gonna mainstream the Bonhoeffer story. It's a story that I think has been neglected.
Oh, yeah.
Especially for my generation. Right. I never heard of him until I heard you mention his name.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm a World War II buff. But he's not mentioned.
That's a great point.
He's not mentioned all that often.
Right, in the documentaries. You know why I think? Because there's a bias against him because he's so overtly Christian.
Oh, yeah.
He's so overtly Christian. Of course, Corrie Ten Boom was also, but really the documentaries tend to overlook her also.
Yeah.
In the hiding place and all that.
I never heard of her until I listened to Christian radio. Never.
So when I became a Christian in 1973 in high school through campus life, these are the first books I remember reading.
Wow.
Was other than the Bible, cover to cover, right in the beginning of my Christian life.
That's a good start.
That's a good start. Yeah. And fast read. Don't take 14 years to read through the Bible. By the time you get done, you forget what it was about when you started. But a fast read through the Bible gives you an overview of the whole Bible. That's helped me my whole life. But then Dietrich Bonhoeffer's Cost of Discipleship and Corrie Ten Boom's The Hiding Place and so many of these extraordinary books.
Add those
wonderful.
To my list, my reading list.
And you know, people say, boy, this Bob and Your Live show, you guys are so radical. Hmm. That's how you get radical. You read the Bible and you read about great Christians.
Yeah, and you know, radical isn't what it used to be. Because in the past, the average American standing up against theft, kidnapping, murder, those weren't considered radical ideas.
No, right.
That was the mainstream.
Right.
You've been radicalized because criminality has become mainstream.
Doug, you remember Richard Wurmbrand? He wrote the book Tortured for Christ. He was in a communist prison in Romania for, I think, 13 years or so.
Another one to add to my reading list.
Richard Wurmbrand. He was in the studio, sitting right where you're sitting. I interviewed him. Richard Wurmbrand is one of the first people I ever interviewed on Bob and Your Live.
Wow.
And that was 20 years ago. He's now gone to be with the Lord. But when you look, like Cal Zastro does, he looks for extraordinary committed Christians, and he tries to teach his children to be like them. how they follow Christ.
Amen.
That's what the Apostle Paul said. Follow me as I follow Christ.
That's right. He was the model.
Yeah, the pattern.
And yeah, the pattern, and he encouraged people to follow him.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All
awesome
right.
stuff. Now, how did we get off on Metaxas?
Oh, I have no idea.
I was talking
Metaxas.
About taxes in California. California's in some financial trouble.
Oh, they are.
Their pension funds, the public pension funds, that's the
Does Mexico still want California?
I think they're...
I mean, are they still interested?
La Raza may be changing their position on
that. Is there any interest whatsoever? And would they take all the way as far north as the Bay Area?
Maybe not.
San Francisco.
Maybe not. No.
Okay,
just,
so they're in trouble?
The public pensions, that's the pensions for government workers, are underfunded by $500 billion. That's $500 billion. That's $5,000 million.
Doug, this is, it's horrendous. You mean they have pension funds.
They have promises,
They promise
basically.
People that when you retire, we're going to give you,
75%, 80% of your salary for life.
60, whatever it is.
Plus health care.
$2,000, $1,200 a month, plus health care from when you retire to when you die, and they're short.
They're short right now.
By $500 billion.
$500 billion at the moment, yeah.
$500 and some billion.
Yeah, and I have a feeling that that deficit is not shrinking every day. I have a feeling that it's probably growing every day.
Yeah. Yeah, to reach this high.
So let me ask
how long
you, Bob,
has this been growing for a billion years?
Let me ask you, Bob, because you are a font of wonderful information on culture and politics. What happens when the government has to go to the people and say, "You know what? All those promises we made, we can't keep them anymore." Is that immoral for the government to do that?
Well, no. No, it's not. But it's the fault. I mean, when you can't, you can't. It's the lie of communism and socialism. It's a lie. You spread around the poverty. That's what you do. You spread around the poverty.
Yeah.
So people are equally miserable,
mm-hmm.
equally divorced, equally sexually perverted, equally thieves and envious and bitter.
That's what they've done.
That's what socialism is.
Well, I have a concern that in California and other states, the nation in general, that we're coming to a point at in the not too distant future when the government is going to have to admit to people
say we
that
just can't do it.
We can't do it.
Now, Doug, remember we got an email from a gal who was all really angry at the both of us.
Yeah, well.
Her name was Cindy.
Uh-huh.
And Cindy was saying that, look, you guys talk a lot about abortion, but how about us elderly? We need to be assured that we're going to get our Social Security checks.
Right, I remember that.
And she's worried that there's going to be euthanizing of the elderly at a massive scale.
Yeah.
Which, of course, could happen.
It could happen.
I mean, even Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court said, you know, the kind of racism that defended slavery, that could happen again.
Sure.
Yeah, so human beings are evil, rebellious against God.
Yeah, we're fallen.
And what was the point that you were trying to get Cindy to understand about her desire to make sure that the elderly get their entitlement checks?
Well, I want to point it out to Cindy. I'm not sure if she understood, but if she's on the dole, if she's getting that
Bob
government, not Bob Dole,
oh,
well, sort of.
Just the general dole.
Bob Dole started stealing that money.
Yeah.
If you're on the dole, if you're on welfare, doesn't that put you in a riskier situation to be euthanized? Because if they euthanize you, that saves them that check.
Oh, yeah, you're a liability to
Obama. Unfunded liability.
You're an unfunded liability to the Obama health care reform juggernaut, and that's why they have their death panels, and they're going to be explaining that, you know, you don't really need a mammogram until you're another 10 years older.
Yeah.
And so they're going to, of course, be denying medical care. And like we already have going on in Oregon and Washington, health insurance companies, you say, I have this cancer, I need this treatment. And they send you a letter saying, well, we deny your treatment, but have you considered physician-assisted suicide?
Damn.
We cover that.
That's covered.
We cover that. If you'll kill yourself, we cover that. And, of course, that's coming from the federal government.
Mm.
So, Cindy, it was wrong of you and your generation to accept the lie that the government will take care of you till you die.
I think that's foolish to buy into that.
Yeah,
don't you think that's a little bit naive?
It's naive,
gullible?
And it's left-wing. It's socialist.
Yeah.
Because people have to steal money from my neighbors to give me entitlements.
Yeah.
And that's wrong. And my children and your children, Doug, and your grandchildren, they should not be enslaved, forced to bail out this generation that was lied to willingly. They were willingly lied to,
yeah.
And they laid down and they took it.
Mm. I don't want my kids paying for it, but I suppose I think they're trapped at this point.
Yeah, they'll be forced to until it all falls apart. And then what? It's hard to predict.
Well, now, speaking of it all falling apart, there are forces amongst us that are moving as quickly as they can toward that. Have you filled out your census form? Yet?
No.
You
mean from 2000?
No, the 2010 census form.
Oh, I haven't even filled out the 2000 one yet.
Oh, well, you should have filled out your 2010 form, and you should have already gotten it back.
Mm.
And if you were, you may have noticed that they're trying to now count homosexual couples.
As households.
As households,
yeah. That's tragic. That's because they hate homosexuals, but they want to mainstream them, right?
Of course. Well, as a matter of fact, listen to this. The president of the... organization?
Is it liberal or conservative?
No, well, let's just tell me,
it's conservative?
The Faith and Freedom Network.
They're good guys.
They're good guys.
They're based on the Bible.
Right.
Let me guess that whatever they say is going to be sadly confused.
Well, here's what they say about this policy of counting homosexual couples in the census. The policy...
We should only count them by 3/5 of them.
No. The policy says...
That's what our founding fathers said.
Yes.
For blacks.
Right.
All right, what are these guys
saying? The Faith and Freedom Network says this policy shift is another attempt to confuse the discussion about marriage.
Oh, come on.
Marriage.
If I hear another Christian talk about homosexual marriage, I'm going to vomit.
Mm.
That's not the issue. The issue is homosexuality. That's what's wrong.
That's the issue, Bob, but unfortunately, we gave away the farm on that about 15 years ago.
You're exactly right. When Focus on the Family said equal rights for homosexuals, they fought that statewide in Colorado to pass Amendment 2, equal rights for homosexuals, and now we're forced to just marriage. Pretty soon, I say, let's give up on marriage. Let's draw the line at homosexual dental care.
Let's take a firm stand.
That's it. Yes. I'm against homosexual dental care funded by Mitt Romney.
That's the only thing
I'm against.
And I'm sure that you'll find a number of Republican politicians willing to take up the banner bravely and march into battle.
They will jump right on that. They'll say, look, if you're against homosexual marriage, that's a bit bigoted.
Yeah.
But I can join you opposing tax-funded homosexual dental care. Do you know that homosexuals tend to have better teeth than the average public? Well, they don't need dental care.
That's right. And we'll put that as a plank in the party platform as we move forward to... wherever it is they're taking us.
And we'll ask them to remove the plank from between their teeth.
Yes.
Before. Hey, Doug, so Christian leaders are afraid to talk about homosexuality, just homosexual marriage.
Yeah,
and why are they against that? Because the dictionary doesn't say that.
Yeah, right.
We need personhood.
Amen.
A return to God as the foundation for civil government. God bless you, Doug.